I'd like to say good morning to you all and greet you in the precious name of Jesus. It's good to be back. Gone for a few days, a week or so, and be blessed to be back with you again this morning. Last night in the airport, I was sitting beside a fellow, and he handed me a tract, and I of course, read the tract and very interested in the tract, and it was an account of his conversion experience, how he was a rock singer, tried very hard to get to the top of the charts, he said, and then his brother got converted, and through his influence and the work of the Holy Spirit, he also became converted. And he's now a traveling evangelist. And he told how he was changed, and how his brother's influenced him, and how his brother's, who is a pastor of a church, then influenced him to become a minister of the gospel. And I thought that was tremendously interesting, a tremendously wonderful testimony. And I decided that it was an affirmation of what I was going to preach this morning on the accountable church member. Now, we hear a lot of preaching on church membership, and sometimes we wonder if, couldn't you preach on something else? But as I studied Hebrews 10, I became convinced that the preaching of assembling ourselves together is a very needful sermon. It's a very needful thought. So turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 in verse 22 through 25. Verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." We live in an age of cheap church membership. People change churches for any reason at all, almost any reason at all. And it seems like the flimsy reasons, excuses they give don't match up with this verse. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. You can know, brethren and sisters, about the assurance of your salvation, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies, get that, and our bodies washed with pure water. I think what he's saying here is that you can know by the way you live. Our bodies are washed. They're pure. They're not going to the tractor pulls. They're not going to the races. They're not going to the country music or rock music festivals. They're pure. And then it says in verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." We live in a wavering church world today. There's a lot of people that are wavering. Let us hold fast, he says. The Hebrew writer says, let us hold fast. Get the picture? Holding fast. You're out in the water being swept away, and you grab something, and you hold fast. You want to hold fast so you don't go away, you don't drown, you don't go out further into the water. You hold fast. The profession of our faith without wavering. This faith that we have must be held fast. And then the next verse says, let us consider one another to provoke and to provoke unto love and to good works. Holding fast has something to do with our relationships in the church. Holding fast has something to do with each other. Holding fast has a lot to do with each other. You consider one another, and you talk to them, and you encourage them, and you provoke them. You know, there's provoke can be, you know, used in two ways. You can mean it's inciting to do good, or it can be provoking them like in anger. But inciting to do good is the what we're talking about this morning. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works. That's why we come to church. And then it says in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Oh, we're going to keep the faith. We're going to hold fast to the faith. We're not going to skip church. Isn't that what it's saying? It's as simple as that. We're not going to skip church if we're going to keep the faith. We're going to hold fast to this faith, and we're going to draw near with a true heart of full assurance. We're going to go to church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. That word exhort is a very nice, interesting word. It's appeal. It's like laying your shoulder on your fellow church member and saying, brother, keep it up. Exhort one another. And as we see the society around us crumbling, and we know that Jesus is coming soon, the signs of apostasy are one of the signs of Jesus coming, that will more and more, rather than less and less, go to church and encourage one another to worship, exhort one another. Just remember, if you forget everything else I say today, holding fast your faith is done in the assembly of the saints. And we live in a day of cheap church membership when it's preached that all you need to do is have your heart right with God and away you go. And of course, that's true in a sense, but holding fast to our faith, according to this passage of Scripture, and according to what seems to be true, what is true, is done by being in church. Can I be too blunt? Can I be too strong? But that's what it says here, right? Isn't that what it says? Sure it does. Church membership is the most important activity in the life of the believer, dear ones, next to personal worship. Church membership and church attendance that goes with that is the most important activity in the life of the believer next to personal worship, prayer life, and so forth. The church is not some social club we attend every 7 days, which many churches seem to be. They attend, people go to church, and that's a social club they attend, and they have a lot of fun there, and they have special effects stages, and lights go on and off, and flashing going on, and darkness in the background, and all kind of special effects. Where I believe that this here is old-fashioned church with preaching and singing and praying and the assembling of ourselves together with each other. One of the reasons I'm so convinced that this is so important is that Jesus, when he was here on earth, said that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it's a promise. It's a real promise, and it's assurance that we're going to make it if we're in a church. We're in the church of Jesus Christ. In most cases, I would say, and you might argue with me a little bit on this one, in most cases, church attendance is a real indicator of your spiritual life. Church attendance is a real indicator of your spiritual life. You brethren have round balers with indicators in it and all that. You know how full the bale chamber is because there's an indicator there. That's a terrible illustration, just one I happen to think of. But just think about your church attendance. Think about your church attendance and make an indicator that goes from 1 to 10, and think about how high you are on that indicator. Is it 10 out of 10 Sundays? 10 out of 10 Wednesday nights? It doesn't say that it must be on Sunday here, but it does say the assembling of ourselves together helps us to draw near, helps us to hold fast, and helps us to get ready for the day of the Lord. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Why is it so important? I have 5 or 6 points later about why we should be accountable church members, but why is it so important that we worship Jesus Christ? When we come to church, we ought to hear about the character of Jesus. I'm going to look at some of the rest of Hebrews 10 in a little bit. And it helps us tell about what Jesus did. But if we want the character of Jesus to be expressed and taught and examined and prayed for and preached about and sang about, in the church service, the character of Jesus. And if the character of Jesus is outside the church doors, and the program and the worship service within becomes a show of talent from the people that are participating in the worship service, you can know, dear brethren and sisters, that your church is on the way to apostasy. Jesus Christ didn't show a lot of talent. For an illustration, when the song or the prayer is sung or prayed, when the song, "Thy Kingdom Come," you know, that's a phrase from the Lord's Prayer. "Thy kingdom come," what does the kingdom mean? When it's sung for its effects and how it can be sung, and the emphasis on the professional emphasis rather than on the kingdom in the heart, there's a serious erosion of spirituality. When you pray, "Thy kingdom come," in the Lord's Prayer, you are praying for the kingdom to come right in here. And when I see some people singing that song, "Thy kingdom come," in ways that are expressions of worldliness and talent, I get quite concerned, because I know that the real meaning of that phrase, "Thy kingdom come," is that Jesus wanted you to pray for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you and break you and mold you and grind you to powder, and not the pride that goes with so many worship services. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, 'Lo here, lo there,' for the behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God, when you're praying for the kingdom of God to come, you are praying for the presence of the grinding, breaking, smashing of the Holy Spirit within your breast, that takes you down lower and lower until Jesus is the exalted one. That's the kingdom of God coming. Let's read Hebrews 10. Let's get a little perspective. Let's start at verse 1. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." We want to hear in our worship services these kind of things. The Old Testament law, while it was good in its time, is now replaced. It's not possible, dear ones, in verse 4, that the blood of bulls and of goats can take away your sins. If you're redeemed this morning, it wasn't by the blood of bulls and of goats. And you might say, we don't need to hear that kind of stuff, that kind of things. But listen, it comes so close. It comes so close in mechanical worship of do this and do that in some churches. Verse 5, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. For I said, I, lo, I come, in the volume of a book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Jesus, the superiority of Jesus, is taught here. And I don't want to necessarily preach a message on that this morning. We're talking about assembling of ourselves together. But the verses in verse 25 where it says about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, it's assuming that you are learning these things in a worship service, that Jesus Christ is indeed superior. And he's the one that takes away our sins. Verse 10, let's start reading there. I'm not sure where I left off, but verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hallelujah. Is that right? We're sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standing, daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. We want to hear about this, the superiority of Jesus Christ. But this man, after he had sacrificed one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God, from henceforth making till his enemies be made his footstool. For one offering he hath perfected them forever, them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost is witness to us. For after that he had said before, for this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds will I remember them, and their sins and their iniquity and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, brethren and sisters, have you come to the place where you know that your sins and iniquities are not remembered? It's a possibility. It's a possibility. If you're saved today, It's a probability. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin, having, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, this is an important verse, and I'm not sure I'm going to have much time to talk about it. But if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. In other words, if we willingly sin, after we understand the work of Jesus, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing, brethren and sisters, to fall into the hands of the living God. That's my brethren and sisters. If there's a sobering verse, it's for us to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made gazestock by both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't throw it out. Don't throw it in the junk. Your confidence, it hath great recompense, a great reward. For ye have need of patience, that after that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Brethren and sisters, it takes patience. We're in a time of waiting now, until we receive the promise of God. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. What is accountable church membership? What is accountable church membership? If indeed we want to have an assurance, we need to listen up. And I think all these things have something to do with accountable church membership. First of all, let's discuss what it means to consider. Verse 24, and let us consider. Consider means to observe, to fully discover, and to perceive. It means that we consider one another's relationship with Christ. And then when we provoke them, provoke unto love and good works, we provoke, incite them to do good. Now, I have a real practical question for you. Everybody that's here this morning, this church member, how often do you talk to your brother or your sister about the work of Jesus Christ? And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works. You know, I think we're a little lax on this. I know I am for sure. I'm not sure about all you. But how often have you talked to one another about your fellow church members about the things of God? That's what he's saying here. Consider one another to provoke and to love and good works. The things of God are very important. Talk to each other about it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now that word assembling means a complete collection. That's taken right from Strong's. Assembling, not forsaking the complete collection of ourselves together. That means there's not many missing, right? A complete collection, there's not many missing. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Somehow, I am missing one of my points here, but I'll go on without it. Yeah. So, a church member, point number one, a church member that is first in, a church member needs to be first and foremost a living specimen of Christ, willing to forsake the world. There's no worldliness in a church member willing to forsake that. The worldly entertainment, the worldly aspect of entertainment, the emphasis on talents and special singing, and is not on people, but it's on Christ. There's a willingness to be ground to powder. Whosoever shall fall on that stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will be grind him to powder. That's what Luke says. That's the kind of church members we need. A church member that is first and foremost a living specimen of Christ, who comes under the authority of the Holy Spirit and dwells and goes to church with other believers. And they grow together in likeness of not loving the world and willing to be ground to powder. Their personal self becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. Comes like powder. He's broken. Number one, the church member that is first and foremost is a living specimen. A church member is first and foremost is a living specimen of Christ. Number two, a church member is a person who binds himself to the church through a covenant. And this is one of the practical points that I think is tremendously important. If you come into the church and you're bound by the church membership agreement, your brotherhood, you walk up front here and you say yes to the bishop, I'm going to abide by this church, I'm going to follow the rules, but more importantly, I'm going to be a specimen of the Holy Spirit. But those kind of people, the kind of people that church members should be, are in it for the long haul. In it for the long haul. You need to be in it. Consider church membership for the long haul. You're going to experience some bumps in the road. Believe me, that's true. You're going to experience some expressions of unfaithfulness. That's true. You're going to experience a lot of things that don't seem to make sense. You're in it for the long haul. I'm going on with the church. I'm broken. I'm going to make it for the long haul. He is also a member that makes it work. A member that makes church membership work. He is a member who is not easily offended. He is one that is willing to take out Matthew 18, verses 15 through 23, or whatever it is, if he doesn't understand his brother, and he's willing to drive down the road, crunch the gravel in his brother's driveway, knock on his door, and say, "Brother, there's something between me and you, and we need to get straightened out." And I think I should preach, somebody should preach, assign it to Jesse or Keith or somebody to preach on Matthew 18, those very verses. Because it has so much to do with our relationship in the church. A church member that binds himself to the church through a covenant is willing to serve the church. You're willing to have devotions? You're willing to have devotions at the cottage meeting? Yeah, I'll try. I can try. Might not be as good as somebody, some of the rest of them, but I'll try and do that. Or lead the singing, who sees the need of serving the church, willing to come and clean the church. A church member that binds himself to the church through a covenant. I would say more than that. We need church members that binds himself to the church through a covenant. And they are the people that are willingly part of the church, even though they don't completely understand what the church asks them to do. There's a period of growth there. Number three, a church member that is loyal to his membership commitments. Loyal to the church in his practical expressions. Willing to represent his church even when the standard is lowered in another setting. We see that at weddings a lot. Our standard in our church is to have your shirt buttoned in church. And it's it might not be all that, all that important or all that significant. When I see our brethren going to weddings and it's standard protocol anymore to have your shirt buttons open, you ought to represent our church. That's who you are. Don't go to another church and represent that church. Represent our church. It's your church of choice. You came here because you wanted to. Nobody forced you. Represent our church. Doesn't seem to make sense. Represent our church. Don't do what other churches want you to do. Do what our church wants you to do. Wedding practice is a big thing. Our church goes to church on Sunday morning. Be there. Be in church on Sunday morning. And for all you people that are getting married or planning to get married, I want to promote church attendance the Sunday morning after you get married. It's how you hold fast. It's how you have assurance of salvation. Number four, Church member that takes seriously the personal responsibility to be in church attendance. That's what I've been talking about all morning. We'll be there at prayer meeting. We'll be there Sunday morning. We'll be there at accountability meeting. We'll be there at members meeting. Just we'll be there. Practical admonition should be part of the church service. I appreciate our adult Sunday school very much in that there's the young brethren are grabbing a hold and they're helping discuss the lesson. But that's very important. Brethren and sisters, young people, I don't know how it goes down to youth class, but get with the program. Discuss the lesson. It's exhorting one another. The day is coming. Jesus is coming. And the Bible says that's how we get ready. That's how we hold fast. That's how we know. Number five, a church member that values accountability. This church is a place of safety. And we need to see ourselves as being the weaker. The weaker. The church member is the church. The church is stronger than I, so I need to come where I can get stronger. Because the church is stronger than I'm the weaker. I'm not sure what to all say about this, but this drawing near with full assurance of faith, holding fast the profession of our faith, has everything to do with brother and sister relationships. I'm not sure. I think we should make a way, maybe, that we all can participate in exhorting one another. Brethren and sisters, the church is so important. The Hebrew writer, whoever he was, put these couple verses in this tremendously doctrinal passage about Jesus Christ and urges us to come to the assembly of the saints, the complete collection of the saints. Let's make it a complete collection. Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and accountability meeting after accountability meeting. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Brethren and sisters, we're going to look up there, and I imagine he's coming from the east. I don't know. That's always what I imagine. And one of these days, he's coming. And if you're going to be ready for him, a lot has to do with your church attendance. Let's pray.